I won't trip over this cord again. I'll try to preach to y'all tonight. All right. So good to have Brother and Sister Hall back with us tonight. Brother Tim, when it's convenient for you, we want you to preach. And I'd love when you, when the Lord gives you what to preach, somehow, some way, you share parts of the dream you had. I really think the church needs to look closely at our attire and the way we appear to the world. What's important to us today? And being the church, how many understand we need to show Jesus to the world? I believe the Lord is coming back after a bride in white garments, not a harlot dressed like the rest of the world. And again, it's not so much, Brother Tim mentioned, I really haven't been much on Facebook the way I used to, but Brother Tim mentioned he's not a clothesline preacher. I believe that's how he said it. I'm going to ask Brother Marvin to pass these out tonight. But I think what we wear is important, but I think the way we present ourselves to the world is important. I'm going to detour tonight. We've been studying in Luke chapter 24, and tonight I'm going to just, Brother Mike, I'm just going to take off down a rabbit trail. And we're going to stay on the rabbit trail tonight. I can do that because I'm the pastor, and I'm the preacher, so I'm going to do that tonight. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. And Brother Marvin is passing out an outline of the lesson tonight. And I want to ask you, when you get the outline, try not to jump way, way ahead. You can be busy reading the outline, not paying attention to what I'm going over. But I want you to follow me with the outline. Take this outline home with you. There are parts in this outline especially toward the end where I say review something. But tonight I want to title the message, Understanding the Enemy. And this came about, me and Brother Mike and Brother David were out front talking about some things, and the wheels started turning in my mind, and I recognized, you know, this is some subject matter that I've touched on, but I've never really got into, and felt like the church needed to look at this. And with the Lord's help tonight, we're going to get into the Word of God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet if you're able tonight, and you can. Make sure everyone has an outline. But before we jump in, I want you to reach your hands this way, and let's agree together in prayer that the Lord have His way tonight. I need the Lord to touch my voice tonight. But let's agree together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You this evening. We praise You this evening. We honor You for Your holy word. Thank You for the power of Your Spirit. Thank You for victory over the enemy. And thank You, Father, that Your word describes the level and the depth of this victory. And tonight, as we look into Your word, have Your way, minister by Your power. Do the work that only You can do, Father, tonight. I praise You, acknowledge You in all of our ways tonight. Direct our path and just have Your way. Be glorified tonight through Your word. We praise You for what You're going to accomplish this evening. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You may remain standing. That's totally up to you tonight. Notice in your outline, and it's got page 1 and 2, so you can flip it over and know which side you're on. But at the bottom corner, it'll say page 1 or page 2. Make sure you're on page 1. The first scripture is Ephesians chapter number 6. And I want to begin this evening reading to you of the armor of God. A man once said that if you understand yourself, you'll win half your battles. If you understand your enemy, you'll win half your battles. He went on to say, if you understand both yourself and who you are and your enemy and who he is, you will win all of your battles. How many would like to win all of your battles? I know in Jesus we're winners, but sometimes in the natural we haven't fully accepted or realized that. So we need the Lord's help. Ephesians 6 and 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor. I want you to say whole armor all together. Of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Notice this phrase, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you what? The whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and including verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Can someone say amen at the reading of the word? And again, do take this outline home with you. I trust that this message tonight will generate questions. I can't answer all the questions that it possibly could, and I believe it will generate in our minds. But if the Lord could arouse within us a curiosity and an understanding of who the enemy is and our power over the enemy, I think that our message tonight will be successful. Verse number 11 in your printed text here, where we've began, he uses the term entire armor, the whole armor of God, and I had you to rehearse that both in verse 11 and verse number 13. How many believe that we need everything God provides for us? We don't need to leave out anything or assume that certain parts aren't important. I believe the Lord is saying to us, you need everything you can have against the enemy, and tonight I am not here to exalt the enemy. I'm here tonight to exalt Jesus, because have me understand, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And I believe and know that to be a fact. But don't assume that we can leave out parts of this. He talks about here in verse 11, the wiles of the devil. And if you're looking at your outline, I've got verse 11 in two other versions. First, the GW, which is the God's Word translation of this verse. Have me see that on your outline. Again, follow me. Put on all the armor that God supplies. In this way, you can take a stand against the devil's what? Does it say here? Strategies. Think of that. The next version here in the CEV, which is the contemporary English version, he says, put on all the armor that God gives so you can defend yourself against the devil's what? Tricks. And how many understand the enemy is subtle? He is sly. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a murderer from the very beginning. And we need to understand more about his tricks. And he talks about the wiles here, as it says in the King James that we've read for you here in verse number 11. Notice here that wiles, I've defined it, and I put here the Greek word it comes from. And you don't have to remember this, but how many see that? Methodia. It's where we get the word method. And what Paul is saying here is, says, if you put everything on you that God gives you, you can defend against the methods of the devil, the means, the strategies. And notice this word was translated as cunning arts, deceit, craft, trickery. And it's only used here and in Ephesians 4:14. And how many can see that verse is next? I know really if I give out an outline of this, all this is going to do is make every last one of you all lazy, where you don't have to turn to the scriptures, and I hesitate doing it. I hesitate putting it on the wall. I want to make you work. But Ephesians 4:14, using this methodia again, the method, it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they, methodia, where they lie in wait to deceive. They have the wiles, the enemy, the deceivers, the liars. How many know that there are deceivers and liars on every corner in this world? Now, I'm not gloom and doom tonight, but I'm all about Jesus tonight, Brother Tim, that gives us victory over all the power of the enemy. He gives us victory over the flesh. He reveals those that are charlatans and those that are fake, and he reveals the true. I want to be one of the true. How about you all tonight? I want you to notice this. Verse 12, back in our text we began with, he isolates and focuses us on where we need to focus our energies, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. How many understand that your coworker, your neighbor, your family member, praise the Lord, your church member, your pastor, that person, those folks ain't your enemy. And that is not where you need to focus your energies when it comes to getting into the battle. The telephone is a wonderful tool, and some people use it as a weapon. You know, praise the Lord. I can sort of interject a little note about gossip here. I love how one man said that, you know what the difference between a gossip and a buzzard is? The buzzard has the courtesy of waiting until you're dead before they tear you apart. Free of charge tonight. Not in my notes anywhere. But that's not our flesh ain't our enemy. People that even do you wrong are not your enemy. But it's the spirit and the source behind that. And he's saying here that we need to focus and concentrate our enemies not on the fleshly part. But notice here at the top in verse number 12, he lists four things, and we're going to get into that just a little. But Ephesians 6 and 12, notice at the bottom of the first column, the CEV, it says, we are not fighting against humans. We are fighting against forces and authorities and against the rulers of darkness and powers in the spiritual world. Now, I believe with all of my heart that there is an unseen world of positive and negative beings. Psalm 34:7 says the angel of the Lord, how many believe that scripture is true, encamps, resides around, encamps about those that fear him and deliver them. The last verse of Hebrews chapter 1 says, are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto those who are to be heirs of salvation? I believe that there are angels of God dispatched in our name for the fact we're children of God and we're part of the redeemed, and those angels are earmarked and placed around us. I believe that follow my heart. There's an unseen world, and I know some people, you start talking like this, they scratch their head and they think you've lost your marbles. And friends, I'm going to do nothing more tonight than to tell you what the Bible says. Okay? I'm going to show you what's in the Bible regarding this, and I've never preached some of this before. Amen. And I know after talking to Mike and Dave out in the vestibule Sunday, I don't know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, whenever it was, Brother Dave, the wheel started turning, and I felt the need for us to understand a little more about our enemy. I really did. Now, notice at the top of the second column, one bulleted point, four groups listed here, and each of these is a different word in the original language. And what I found doing some study is that there are scholars, and that second point mentions that there are nine ranks of angelic beings. And reading this, I find that one scholar will say this and one scholar will say that. And there are some conclusions that I read that folks come to that I can't find substantiated in the Bible. Now, how many understand that your pastor, Ted Stidham, as he expounds the scripture and as I preach to you, I want to be very well founded in what I'm telling you. Therefore, I have you turn from scripture to scripture to scripture. How many gets tired of that? I hope you don't. Don't raise your hand. Just nod your head and agree with me like you like it. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, I'm not surmising. I am not interjecting a lot of my own opinions. I'm very well founded in what I tell you. Amen. Well, I found out that these nine ranks, and it starts with seraphims all the way down to archangels, powers, principalities, thrones, dominions. It listed nine of them, and they're mixed up, and different people have different opinions, and they're not really based upon what the Bible plainly says. Therefore, I'm not going to get into that tonight. How many are with me tonight? May I say that there are various ranks, and I'm going to prove that part. But I'm basically going to leave it at that. And let's just say whatever the rank is, we've got victory. Now, I did do this. If you'll notice in your outline, principalities, underlined, right below that, powers underlined, rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness. The word principality is from the word arche, and it's where we also find in the Bible describing one being, which is Michael, as an archangel. A special classification of an angel of God called an archangel. And that word arch comes from a word that means chief or high in rank. Now, we think of, and many people have said, that Gabriel is also an archangel, but that is not in the Bible anywhere. I assume it to be, but I don't know. Hear me with me tonight. Only Michael mentioned in the Bible is an archangel, but that word is also used to describe a rank within the enemy's hierarchy. If you're with me so far, say praise the Lord. And I know you may scratch your head. Where are you getting at? I'll clarify myself just in a few moments. But notice here, powers is from the Greek word exousia, and this is where we get authority all through the New Testament. But it's also talking about an authoritative rank within the enemy's, again, I'm going to use that term, hierarchy. Rulers of darkness. Again, another word describing one of these things. Paul is saying we're wrestling against these. We're not wrestling against people, but he mentioned these four things that we are wrestling against. I want to understand a little bit more about my enemy if I'm going to fight him. How many understand you can't fight an enemy you don't understand? And I heard our boys in Vietnam, when they were there, they couldn't differentiate between the North and South Vietnamese, and it made the war so much harder because they didn't know who they was fighting against. And I don't think the church today knows who they're fighting against. They think that our enemy is the preacher because he stepped on our toes, or that other person didn't walk over and shake my hand, or somebody looked at me funny, or somebody didn't like the way I dressed or looked or something like that. But friends, I want you to understand it has nothing to do with that. All of our energy should be focused against, Brother Tim, the spiritual world who we're fighting against. Amen. Spiritual wickedness, non-carnal, non-flesh, depravity, iniquity. And you can see the definition of these four here. And again, to get into the details of this, because what I found as I looked over in different places, some of these words are interchangeable and they're difficult to understand. Notice the next underlying point. Verse 11 tells us to put on. Verse 13 tells us to take unto you the full armor. We've mentioned four ranks here of what we fight against, these beings, whoever, whatever they are, wherever they are. In order to be successful against the mean devils, can I say that tonight? How many, can I translate that? Someone says, hey, you get a tough stain out, you shout it out. How many ladies ever squirt that shout stuff on your stuff to get the stains out? I think the Pentecostal church think they could shout the devil out. The tough devils, they can shout them out. You can't shout them out. We have to use it God's way. And he uses the term here, full armor. Now, looking that up, well, here's a word I've never used, never noticed before until I studied this message. It's called panoply, and it is a full suit of armor, ceremonial attire, something forming a protective covering. Notice the definition. A magnificent or impressive array, as that would be showed off at a military funeral. And what he's saying here, you need every last piece of what God is providing in order to combat against the array of the enemy's forces and the hierarchy of all that the devil and his angels and the forces of darkness can come against you. You need every last piece of what's available to you. And that word, notice here, I've got it highlighted, pan means all, and hopla means arms. And what Paul is saying here, you need everything that God is saying is at your disposal in order to combat who you are fighting against. Someone say, praise the Lord. Now notice this next one. Focused fighting is needed. Hallelujah. I can fly through these since you all got the scriptures. You all don't have to turn so quick. We can go through it quicker. Know ye not, how many are reading with me, that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I want you to notice verse 26 and 27. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I not as one that beateth the air. I am concentrating my efforts. I'm focusing my fighting. I understand my enemy. I know where I need to focus the attack and the energies I have in the Lord. Otherwise, I'm beating the air. How many have swung at an enemy and just totally missed him, hit the air? We need to understand where our blows need to be directed. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The word castaway here used in Romans 1 as reprobate, and it means worthless or useless. Understand you have a battle. Don't let flesh, how many are reading this at the bottom with me? Don't let flesh, yours or others, hinder you. We don't need to let flesh hinder us fighting a spiritual war. Flip over your page. All right, are y'all ready for this? I don't know if you are or not. Are y'all ready for this? Hallelujah. And again, if what I cover leaves you scratching your head, wondering, curious, let me use even better word, hungry, to know more, then this would have been a success tonight. Mark 9:28. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? These disciples that went out two by two, they went everywhere, had great success, but we see that there were times when they went out, they came back, didn't always work the way they thought it would work. Amen. They come back rejoicing, Lord, the devils are subject to us through your name. We'll get to that later on in this page. But they attempted, Sister Betty, to cast an enemy out of an individual and was unsuccessful. And then asking Jesus, why couldn't we? And y'all heard me preach this, but notice verse number 29. And he said unto them, this kind. And how many see I've got that underlined there? This kind. Say kind. This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, kind, notice underneath this, he's saying this type, this rank, this level. This is interesting. In the original language, it's genos. It's where you get kindred, offspring, family, stock, tribe, nation, nationality, or of a descent from a particular people, the aggregate of many individuals of the same nature, kind, or sort. And it's the level. He's saying you encountered a spiritual enemy that was of a kind type. Someone say praise the Lord. That required something a little more. Now, as I was talking to Mike and Brother Dave the other day, I made this statement. And I want y'all to listen closely to me. We're going to go on just in a minute. How many believe that everything that is available, that's beneficial to us, every avenue of victory we have comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ? How many know that to be a fact? I absolutely know that to be a fact, too. Is it saying, well, this particular enemy, you're going to have to add something to Jesus' blood? No, it is not. But this is saying here that we need to be in the condition to properly understand and utilize what is freely available through the cross of Calvary. I believe Jesus totally defeated every rank, every hierarchy, every level of the enemy, regardless of where that resides. Wherever that position is in the heavenly, be it the lowest or be it the highest rank, Jesus totally trumps them all. Say amen. But what about us receiving and appropriating that power, Sister Betty, in our lives? There are times we need to fast and pray to condition the man, to condition the mind. How many know that self-denial, are you with me, does something to the will of the flesh that allows the will of the Spirit to be superseded in our lives? Amen. It's a priority in our life. Now, I want you to chew on that, and I hope that this is already generating some thinking. Now, I want you to notice Matthew 12:24, our next scripture here, when Jesus was exercising this authority, the Pharisees made this statement. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by what? Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." Now, I'm not going to base a belief or a doctrine upon the word of a Pharisee. Understand, unless it's consistent with all the scripture. But he is talking here about a chief one. How many can picture Lucifer himself being at the head of this tree, and his imps all the way down the line, him being the supreme prince? And I'm going to use the word king, and you'll find out why I'm going to use the word king in a minute. We know that the scripture said he's the king of this world, the prince of this world, little p, little k. I don't want to capitalize anything about him. Amen. But there is these layers, these levels, these genos. Amen. Now, next verse. With a hierarchy of enemy levels, we also have various weapons. We are fighting a war. Who you encounter, you may encounter a private, you may encounter a general, whatever that is. How many understand that the range of our weapons are good enough to defeat any power that the enemy throws at us? Regardless of what layer within spiritual wickedness you are facing, I want you to know that my God has an appropriate weapon to win that battle. Now, it may be fasting and prayer. Hear me now. This kind. Focus in there if you would. Because there are times the enemy gains a stronghold that requires an extra effort, requires a certain weapon. Sometimes we have to do what Harry Truman done at the end of World War II when he unleashed two bombs over Hiroshima and Nagasaki. When the Enola Gay flew over and they dropped those bombs on August the 6th and August the 9th, killing scores of thousands of people at once. Now, the justification of that, that's between him and God, and whatever happened, they say that ended the war quick. Saved lives was the justification. I know this. They had a weapon. They used the weapon. They won the victory. Child of God, you've got the weapon. You've got an enemy. And sometimes you need to unleash the heavy arsenal. You need to dig down deep and find a weapon or something that God's providing. You need to use the whole armor of God. Everything at your disposal to protect you and to fight against the enemy. Amen. Again, if you understand yourself, how many know who you are tonight in the Lord? How many know that you're blood-bought, born again? You know Jesus. Your name's wrote in heaven. Do you know that angels are at your beck and call? I believe that. I believe that. I believe we can dispatch angels because we are children of God and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Our elder brother purchased this right for us and he gave it to us. And he said, "All power is given to me. I'm giving it to you too to go forth and utilize it in my name." Hallelujah. Notice 2 Corinthians 10:3. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. This is equivalent to what we said. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against something else. We don't war in the flesh. We know where our battle lies. Verse 4, for the weapons, somebody see weapons there and see it plural. Have me see the S on the end of that. I believe there is an array of weapons that is available to the child of God. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down. This kind comes by nothing but fasting and prayer. This kind, this stronghold, this position that the enemy has dug in into its own foxhole is going to require a special type of weapon. You're going to have to use all the armor, Brother Dave, to get to some of these. Are you with me? Let's keep reading. To the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, here we go. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, we can dwell on imaginations, knowledge, and thoughts here, but we're talking mentally, spiritually, not in the fleshly world. Somebody say amen. But the battleground is in the... Why is lust equivalent to adultery? Because in the mind it occurs. Why is hatred equivalent to murder? Because in the mind it occurs. How many are with me tonight? The seed is conceived in the heart and mind that is later manifest in the flesh. Notice the next verse. We've talked about these ranks, these levels, generations, if you would. Ephesians 1 and 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Now again, I can't get into all these. I can't speak specifically to all these. And there are overlapping words that are used here. And again, I've talked about scholars trying to define all nine ranks of angels. I can't do that tonight. I'm not going to do that. But I've noted these here. Far above all principalities, the arche, and power, the exousia, which is authority, and might, which is dunamis, where we get the word power in Acts 1 and 8, where it says you will receive power, and dominion, kuratos, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. And what I want to point out is that regardless of the spiritual rank in the heavenlies, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is exalted above everything, regardless of what you can name, regardless of how strong they seem or appear to be, Christ is head. Amen. Notice 1 Peter 3:22, who has gone into heaven? Jesus, and those on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to Him. And again, Peter, differentiating, talking about different spiritual beings that, again, I cannot speak particular about tonight. Colossians 2:24, someone say, praise the Lord tonight. How many know we've been going 100 miles an hour and we've covered a lot of ground? But you've got the paper to take home with you. Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. I think we just need to stop and raise our hands and praise Him for the cross just for a minute. And what we receive as by virtue of what Jesus did on the cross, and the measure of His victory on the cross. Hallelujah. By precious blood He bought you. By precious blood He gave you victory. Hallelujah. And put the enemy under His feet. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. And notice this. When I was editing this, I left off verse 15. But verse 15 says, and spoiled, and having spoiled. How many know that spoil is a term referring to the booty of war, the results of victory? You spoil the enemy. You conquer the enemy. You put him under your feet. Having spoiled, and it mentions this, principalities, the arche and the exousia power, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In other words, Jesus showed them up. How many are thankful it was a decisive victory? Glory to God. We'll get to that too. All right, the top of the last column, you're on page 2. We're going to take us a few minutes. We're circling the airport, though, but it's going to take me a while to land this one. I want you to notice this verse. It's an interesting verse. I've never heard a preacher preach this verse, but I've noted it's been in here for a long time. I think I've mentioned it scarcely a time or two. But I want to explain this in just a little detail, not a whole lot of detail, because it's a message in itself. But Isaiah 30, verse 33, if you're at the top of the second column, say amen. It says, for Tophet, before I read this, I want to describe Tophet to you. Tophet, used in 2 Kings 23, Jeremiah chapter 7, Jeremiah chapter 17, and here. And it may be used another time or two through the Old Testament. Tophet was a pagan altar place that was used when, and this will sound familiar for those of you that have read the Old Testament closely, where it was used when they caused their children to pass through the fire unto Molech. How many have read that? Molech was an Ammonite fire god that people would sacrifice their children to. This was the place that it occurred, in Tophet. Now, Tophet in the original language is a word that's very similar to a drum. They say they named it Tophet because they would beat these drums and strike these drums in order to create enough noise and sound to drown out the screams of the children. How many can see this picture is not a very pleasant one that I'm scarcely painting tonight? But just give you an idea that there in this place called Tophet, that things happen. Now, Tophet, if you'll notice the note I've got right under this verse, was located in a place called the Valley of the Sons of Heman. And that is a word, and notice I've got it in parentheses. How many can see that word there? It is Gehenna. Gehenna is the New Testament Greek word used many times translated in describing the burning hell. I preached a little on hell a Sunday morning, and how many believe we need to hear more about hell? This place was a garbage heap southwest of Jerusalem in which fires continually were burning there. And again, we could get into a lot of this. Let me just leave it at that. But there are principles here that lead us to think, God, you're showing me something when you talk about Tophet. And there's a lot we could get into, but we're not going to get into that tonight. But let's read this verse. And notice when we read this verse how plain it is. It says, for Tophet is ordained of old. Yea, for the king, and I've got that underlined, the king, I'm going to say the prince of darkness, it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord like a stream of what? When we describe and read in the New Testament, talking about that burning place called hell, they use the term fire and brimstone recurrently. And here the writer, Isaiah, he's describing this place that God knew about back from whenever, prepared for the king. And he uses the word king here. God knew it. God understood it from the very beginning. Can someone say amen? Let me get the flavor of this so far. If you do, say amen. We'll go on. Notice the next verse, Matthew 25 and 41. I want us to understand our enemy. But friends, I want you to understand the doom of your enemy. Understand that he's not only defeated, God already knew he's defeated. God had a place to defeat him a long time ago. It's a foregone conclusion tonight who the victor is. Are y'all with me? Do you understand the measure and the level of your victory tonight in Jesus? And regardless of these ranks of evil forces that we fight, and they are there, we have victory over every last one of them. Now, Matthew 25 and 41. Then shall they also say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. And read this with me. Prepared for whom? For whom? And who? And his angels. Well, he's already describing somewhat of a hierarchy here. You've got the devil, you've got Beelzebub or whoever, the prince, the king, the supreme, the God of this world, the leader, Lucifer, Satan. I want to encourage you, notice at the very bottom, the very last part of this, those two scripture references. Let me see Isaiah and Ezekiel at the bottom of this page. I want to encourage you, I ain't going to read these tonight, I'm not going to get into them. When you go home, when you get time, look these up if you want to learn more about this. Hallelujah. But the devil and his angels. Now, Luke 10, notice the next one. Christ was eyewitness of the enemy's fall. Verse 17, Luke chapter 10, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils, plural, are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I watched, beheld, witnessed. Glory to God. I love this. I beheld Satan as lightning. I'm going to comment on that. Fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, every variety of the enemy. Nothing by any means will hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits, plural, of every variety, of every sort, of every breed, of every class, of every type, of every geno, be it principalities, powers, rulers, dominions, whatever, are subject unto you. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Greater is the fact that I have a God that I'm going to serve and be in His presence for all of eternity, Sister Betty, than the fact that I could sit there and grind the devil under my feet right now in the name of Jesus. So much better is the fact we're going to be with God. I want you to know I'll be there and I will cheer when the enemy grabs the devil and casts him into the lake of fire. But greater than that, I'm going to be around the throne of God. Hallelujah. Y'all, why ain't y'all shouting? That was a perfect opportunity. If I ever had, as lightning, notice this point, the bulleted point under Luke 10. As lightning speaks to the resounding measure of defeat, the devil didn't drift to the ground. The devil didn't float to the ground. But as lightning and that resounding thump, he went from heaven to earth. Glory to God. And I picture that there's an impression wherever he hit on the earth. I don't know. Boom. Just like that. In the blink of an eye, if you could. How many understand that all God had to do was just sling him off the tips of his fingers. And he was out of there. Glory to God. And what went with him? His angels. Now, however you interpret Revelation 12, it's the next one I've got on this list. Some think it prophecy, some think it history. I know that there are fallen angels today. I believe the forces of darkness that we fight in the hierarchy thereof are the devil and his angels. I look at this as history having already occurred. And again, who knows what's going to be accelerated and happen during this tribulation period as we go into that. How many understand that while this earth is in chaos, I'm going to be around the throne of God and join the marriage supper of the Lamb? How many going to be with me? Anybody going to be with me? We believe that. Verse 7, Revelation 12, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent, called who? The devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth. Read this with me. And his angels were cast out with him. All of this hierarchy cast out of heaven. And friends, I want you to know tonight, how many has this made you even a little bit curious, or you thought, there's something more to that? There is. And again, if the Lord were to open our eyes and we could see all these layers and levels of forces that we're fighting against, it probably scares to death. How many are thankful that sometimes we're blissfully ignorant? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for handling all that for me. But here's the thing, church. Understand that you're not fighting against your neighbor. You're not fighting against your husband. You're not fighting against your wife. You're not fighting against your children. You're not fighting against your in-laws, your outlaws. You're not fighting against your coworker. I've mentioned that. But focus your energy to know that you're fighting against a spiritual enemy. And in order to fight against a spiritual enemy, you need spiritual weapons. And regardless of how strong they may be, understand there is a weapon to defeat them. And every one of those weapons is provided to us through and by the cross of Calvary and the shed blood of Jesus. When He done what? He spoiled. Hallelujah. Do you catch this tonight? Do you understand this tonight? But do not, hear me now, take anything for granted